In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." Went on to say, of course, in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You know, isn't it amazing, right in the midst of the word and repentance and faith and all of that is repentance and returning to God. Now let's go down to verse 10. Same 55th chapter of Isaiah, verse 10. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." You know, many times I'm asked the question, what is this church? What are we all about? Who are we? What kind of a church is Calvary Cathedral International? Well, we're a church that's winning souls. At every service, we see people coming to Jesus. We're a church that really praises and worships God. Churches across the land have a call to worship, but it never happens. It happens in Calvary Cathedral. We praise and we worship our God. God indwells the praises of His people. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. You know, it just struck me as I was meditating last night, heaven's going to be one eternal praise and worship session. Now, I don't know if He'll let us do any preaching, but I don't think anyone's going to stand up when the Word's there. The Lamb is the light. We'll testify and share with one another, but hey, the Word is there. The Word is there. Eternal. Church that teaches and preaches who God is, who Satan is, and who you are. You need to know those three things. You need to know that God is great, wonderful, all-powerful. That Satan is a loser, he's a thief, and he'll steal from anyone that gives him the opportunity. But who are we? We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Born again, Spirit-filled, growing in grace. We're a church that's built on prayer. We're trying to keep the main thing the main thing. Early prayer, power tower prayer, your personal prayer. We believe in prayer. A church that teaches and preaches the power of covenant relationship by bringing all the tithe into the local storehouse. I believe with all of my heart that your tithe belongs in the local church. And the majority of our offerings, at least that's what Joe and I have practiced for years, and yet we're great givers, and that's not the only giving we do, but I'll tell you the high majority of our giving is right here in the local house. How do you break out? How do you break through? By knowing, by believing, by doing. Giving in faith. You go where you sow where you go. I'll tell you, Calvary Cathedral International givers are breaking out with great blessings. It's a church family where everyone is welcome. The rich, the poor, every color of skin, race, nationality. The educated, the uneducated. Rough past, no past. You're welcome. It's a church that's committed to Holy Ghost Book of Acts revival. Brother Dick Mills shared something with me this week. What a refreshing a man. It's 77 years of age, and I'll tell you, the fire's burning in Dick Mills. The fire is burning. That man has a heart of revival. But he said back in John and Charles Wesley revival days that the Wesleys decided that this was fanaticism because even before they laid hands on people, they were falling out in their meetings. And they said, this is fanaticism, so tell the ushers we won't put up with that anymore in the meetings. Whether hands are laid on them or they just fall out. Just, this is fanaticism, we won't have it. So they didn't have it for a few nights. And George Whitfield, who was a very close friend of John and Charles Wesley, came up and said, you know, I know what you said and how you feel about people falling out into the power, but I just have one thing to remind you. Have you noticed not one soul has come to Jesus these nights? Not one soul has come to Jesus. And John and Charles Wesley, being honest for whatever reason they made that first decision, they said, you're right, and from now on, the Holy Ghost is welcome in our meetings. You don't see that in a lot of the history books, but it's there. And when they got the foot off the brake pedal of the stopping the Holy Ghost, every night souls started coming to Jesus again. I'll tell you, folks, you can't put the brakes on the Holy Ghost. You don't dictate to God. You just show up and let God be God. And that's important. Thank God for the book of Acts. Thank God for Pentecost. This church is a different church since a greater spirit of revival has come to our church. But there's something else, and I say it, I allude to it. Our staff knows it, and this is who we are and where we're coming from. This is a church that is built on faith in the integrity of God's supernatural word. I passed a church for years, not too far from this church. I never saw one Bible in all the years. I used to go that direction. I don't go that direction. I travel another way now. But I got to looking. I thought, where are the Bibles? And I'd see people crossing the street going to church. I didn't see a Bible. I didn't even see anything look like a Bible. Empty hands. And I'm going to tell you, if you got empty hands and no Bible, you got an empty heart. How in the world are people going to face the storms of life if you don't have God's Word? Well, the evident answer for it, at that time, the minister didn't even believe you must be born again, didn't believe in the deity of Christ, didn't believe in the miracles. If your preacher doesn't believe anything, I don't guess there's any reason to bring your Bible to church. Just bring a book report, do something else. Do crossword puzzles. Occupy your time profitably. But if God meant what He said and said what He meant, that book, your faith in that book, your faith in the promises of that book is the most powerful asset you have in this world. You said, what about Jesus? He is the Word. He is the Word. Your faith is changing your world. Negatively or positively, your faith is changing your world. But how do you do it? How is it happening? Well, you remember Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. We talked to you about Abraham, and we talked to you about Sarah, and reminded you that Sarah's faith was every bit as important and as powerful as Abraham's faith was. It took both Abraham and Sarah to have that promised child. We remember in the book of Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the title deed of things that you're believing God for. In your spirit, in your faith, you have the title deed before it even happens, before it ever arrives. Because you know in your spirit that you have heard the word, you have believed the word. In faith believing, you've asked the Lord according to the word of God. And make no mistake about it, it shall come to pass. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. Met a man I haven't met in some time, minister, and he said, well, are you still of the faith persuasion? I said, man, there's no other way to go. I was on the bottom of the barrel when the faith persuasion became real to me. I mean, Joy and I were suffering from massive friction, one back payment rubbing up against another one. And that was probably true spiritually for me. But it was believing that God said what He meant, and He meant what He said, that broke it open for us and expanded our ministry and expanded our vision. And then God spoke to our heart and said, you're to start a church. And that was 35 years ago, and I suppose that word has worked. Praise the Lord. But we're just beginning. Of course, you know over in Mark, the 11th chapter, that the Word of God tells us that you can speak to that mountain, and that mountain shall be removed and be cast into the midst of the sea. That it's possible. We face mountains every day. Now let me assure you, that does not have to do with ski mountains. I have spoken to numerous ski mountains in Colorado, and I said, you be removed and somewhere closer to Fort Worth, Texas. It's a long drive, 800 miles, 700 miles. And you know, those mountains didn't even answer me. They just looked at me. This does not apply to the physical mountains, but I'm going to tell you something. There are things in people's lives that are just as real as physical mountains. They are spiritual mountains that hold them in bondage. I've talked to people in the last few days. I could not kick the drink habit, but God set me free. That was a mountain to them. You've heard the story. Afflicted with bad car. But God moved that mountain and blessed them. We're having business people that are breaking through. They're telling me that things they hear are breaking them through. Breaking them through. More than one of you tell me that you have a sales meeting on Monday morning and you preach the message oft times, or parts of the message, to motivate people to sell and to do whatever. Faith really works. Faith in God's word really works. It really does work. It really will change your world. Your faith is changing your world for the negative or for the positive. You say, man, bad luck's all that ever happens to me. Your faith is working for you, but not like you. It's working. It's working, but you don't like the product, do you? If it weren't for bad luck, there'd be no luck at all. No, your faith is working. But folks, we need to adapt this thing. Thank God that things are as good as they are. God's word, God's promise is above every circumstance in my life. And thank God the best is yet to come. Satan is a loser. I'm a winner. Jesus has already won the victory. But you know, there's a process in the word. That's what a lot of people miss. They miss that process part of the word. Let's go back to Isaiah 55 here just for a moment. First of all, you've got to be thirsty for God's word to work for you. If you're not hungry and thirsty, God's word will not work for you. This is not a drive-in and a drive-through. You don't come and time me, and if I'm not to where you think I ought to be, you're out of here in a certain period of time. You come and you sit and you listen. You've got to be thirsty. Until you get hungry, you'll not look for food. Until you're thirsty, you'll not search for water. Ho, everyone that is thirsty. There's a lot of church people that aren't thirsty. They're not hungry. And a few of them attend here. But we love them and we see their lights coming on and God's changing things. Well, there's churches that church means no more to them than just a place to go to salve their conscience. I gave up trying to preach a great sermon a long time ago. I want to share a message from God's word in your heart that will change your life. So first of all, how does God's word work in your life? And by the way, it's the power of God's word if you need a title. First of all, you've got to be thirsty. And you know the good thing about God, God doesn't put a price tag. God does not put a price tag. He said all you have to do is come. Come. You have to be thirsty, thirsty enough to come. To come. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. First of all, you got to get hungry and thirsty. You need to always have a faith project. You say, well, my needs are met. Well, then you ought to expand your faith out to a faith project. You ought to always have a faith project going. In fact, some of you need to just come around and say, hey, all my needs are met. Pastor, what can we do to help the vision of the house? What can we do to expand the vision of the house? How can we reach more souls? I need to sow some money. So you've got to get hungry and you've got to get thirsty. Number two, you've got to come. But number two, you've got to stop wasting your money on that which is not profitable. You know, a lot of people blame God for their lack of prosperity, but it's mismanagement of money. You can't buy everything in sight. You can't charge everything you want. You can't spend money, borrow money that you don't have. There's a time you have to temporarily. We've all been there. But some people have a compulsion. It's like a gambler's compulsion almost. And I've seen God get people out of debt in this church and they go right around and plunge right back in. Remember one minister, we helped him get out of debt, turned right around and plunged right back in. You can't help a guy like that. He's going to have to get hungry and thirsty. He's going to have to come and say, hey, tell me where I'm missing it. But you've got to stop wasting your money where it doesn't count. Don't waste your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Make your labor count. Make your spending or lack of spending count. He goes into another aspect here. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you come, you stop spending and wasting money or spending money or borrowing or doing whatever that's working against you. You can't borrow your way to success, that's for sure. But then he said, hearken diligently unto me. Hearken diligently unto me. He said, hearken diligently. That means when the preacher is teaching or preaching God's word, you listen. You listen with the ear of faith. Don't just listen for something that tickles your ears. Listen up. Really listen. Listen to what the man's saying. Listen to what the man of God's saying. Listen. Listen with the ear of faith. Some of you know what I'm going to say on certain things before I ever say it. But you missed the point. You may know what I'm going to say, but do you know that you know that you know what I am saying? Hearken diligently. Listen to the word of God. You're hearing something that can and will change your life. Now you say, what does this apply to? It applies to a better family relationship. It applies to your children, to your grandchildren, to your business. It applies to your health. It applies to your personal finances. You say, oh, that's just words. Yeah, it's just words if you don't believe it. Folks, some of you better get serious about what we're talking about around here, because this is real. You hear diligently. You hearken to the word of God. You've got to hear it. If things are going to change in your life, come to church with your antennas up saying, I'm going to hear. I'm going to hear something today. I'm going to hear something today that's going to change my life. I say that all the time, even if I'm preaching. You'd be surprised what I learned while I'm preaching. Oh, I'll tell you, sometimes I get a fax from God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hearken diligently. Listen to the word. Sure, you read the word. But you read it. We teach it and preach it. And together we make a faith team. You need something? Get the word of God that applies to that. You need something? You apply the word of God to that. You say, well, what if it doesn't spell out Pontiac or Volkswagen? You get you one of those verses of God's word that does apply, general application. You need something, and you apply God's word to it. You hear it, and you believe it. You know, some people say, oh, that's just gimmickry. Okay. And you say, well, I know people that talk like that, and they got a lot of things. God doesn't always pay on the 1st and 15th of the month. Let me tell you something. It's not just important to get things. It's knowing what to do with them when you get them. And knowing how to manage with it when you get it. I know people that have gained and lost fortunes. And here's a little believer just not making a whole lot of money. Maybe on minimum wage, but he makes a little bit more. And lo and behold, he gets a car $6,000 under the value. And this happens and that happens, and he just happens to sell an old doggy house for a lot of money. And I mean, just little things, and he just keeps his head and he pays his tithes and he sows seed and he just keeps believing God. See, the best success is one step at a time. Listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. I mean, there's get rich schemes by the multitude. We want it overnight. But a windfall that hasn't come by step by step by step by faith, by giving, by keeping your faith on the line, it's usually ill-gotten and it'll slip through your fingers. Very few people profit from the lottery, because usually when they get it, it's just gone. Millions of dollars and they're still in trouble with the government. So if I need something, I get the Word of God out. And I've heard the Word of God and I believe the Word of God. And I start sowing toward that. I tell you, my wife has a real grip on this, and God's touched all of us. You sow where you go. You can listen to every teaching in the world, but you got to sow where you go. It's not academic. If all you do is read, and you can have 12 steps to everything in the world. But if you're not sowing, you're not going. If you're not sowing, you're not going. You sow where you go. Then we hearken diligently to the word of God. We mix it with faith. And notice in verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me and hear. I heard of a pastor who challenged his church to turn television off for 30 days and spend the time that they were spending watching game shows and television shows and Oprah and all that, Sally and all the rest of them, and get into the word of God and see and expect God to make a difference in their life during that. Did you say you're trying to tell me never to watch television yet? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, folks, we've got to start putting the first thing, the first thing. And if things are going to change in our life, God's got to be number one. We must get this ship turned around to where God is number one. With some of your friends, take more time than God. With some of you, television takes far more time than you ever even think about spending in the Word of God. And you know that church literally exploded in revival after 30 days because the people got into the Word and believed the Word, and God renewed that fresh oil and that new wine in their spirit, and it just revolutionized that church. So you're hungry and you're thirsty. You come to the Lord. You stop spending money where it's not profitable. As one brother said, if you don't pray before you go in, I promise you, you'll pray to get out. You hearken. You begin to hear the word of God. Well, was his sermon fast? Was it slow? Was it funny? Was it sober? What were the mechanics? Forget the mechanics of it. Get the truth of it. Get the truth of it. Hearken unto God's word. Hearken unto God's word. And mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. Incline your ear, verse 3. Come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. Your soul shall live. Now here's what God said. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you come to me, you start really listening up, and you start letting God's word get into your system. You have something wrong with your body, and if the doctor says taking antibiotics is the answer, you take one pill, but 5 minutes after you took the pill, you say, are you okay now? Oh, you're crazy, man. You got to get this in your system. You got to take it twice a day. And I remember in the old days, you'd take it out of the bottle and you got to shake it until it foams. Shake it some more. Shake it. I just wanted to pour it out and get it on with. Shake it. Mix it up good. Let it get down inside of you. See, some people have been so wounded and so bruised and so messed up before they get in here. It takes some people a while to figure out that God's word really means you. God's word is not just for me or just one or two or three of you. God's word is for everyone that will dare to believe it. If you open your Bible, you're born again, honey, the word of God's talking to you. Word of God's talking to you. Just as much as anyone else on the face of God's earth, God's word is talking to you. What did he say over in John? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That means that we literally in our thinking, in our subconscious, in our conscious, in our conversation, we literally become one with the promise of God. I mean, you meditate for 2 or 3 hours, my God shall supply all of my need. Well, I need wisdom in my business. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. Let him ask of God. Say, preacher, do you ever need wisdom? Every day of my life, I need wisdom. I think I need more wisdom at this time than I've ever needed in my life. But there's still things I don't know what to do and I don't know what to say. And people say, tell me something, pastor. And I said, I don't know what to tell you right now, but I'll pray and we'll talk later. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask of God. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and withholdeth not. God has not hidden his word from you. God has hidden his word for you. Get it straight. For you. And I know people tell me, and we've had every once in a while, you have people that have means, and they say, well, you just minister a lot to people that have needs. We have plenty of money. We're very successful, and we're really not on that level. I've had 3 people tell me that over a period of time. My heart went out to them because, oh, you missed the point. Man, if you're blessed, you of all people need the wisdom of God. So incline your heart, come unto me here, and your soul shall live. Here's what God said. In the area that you come to me and you hear my word and you believe me, God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. When you get into the word in that respect, God says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Now, I've heard people talk covenant, but then they socked it to you. That's not God. That's not the way God operates. When God makes a covenant with you, you can take it to the bank, my friend. You can just bank on it. It is as good as done. God said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. And you know what really touches my heart about that? About that time, Satan comes along and says, you're unworthy. You've made a mistake. You've made a lot of mistakes. Isn't it something how he keeps such an accurate record of our mistakes? He has a better memory than God does about our mistakes and our sins. You know what? There's not a person that knows anything about the Word of God in this room here today that would say or would even argue the fact that God has not shown abundant mercy to David. I mean, if you know a little bit of anything about the Word of God, you know that David committed a sin, and it was not a pretty sin. It was an ugly sin. But David cried out to God. See, there's your difference. Some people always, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. If Washington would stop covering sins and start confessing sins, we'd see a new day coming in America. The problem is not that we have clay feet in Washington. The problem is that they'll not confess or repent from anything unless the poll said it was right. God doesn't judge on the curb, and God doesn't judge according to the polls. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how rough it is and how rough he or she may be, when somebody falls on their face before God and says, God, I blew it, I sinned, I messed up, God, have mercy on me. God said, you got it. God's a merciful God. He's a good God. And he's not holding your sins of the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years over your head. When God forgives, God forgets. God said, when you come to me and you thirst and you hunger and you listen and you mix that with faith and you let my word become more real to you than the word of IRS, than the word of the newspaper, than the word of the commentator, than the word of anything, any man's word. You know, we just hear man's word and we just go crazy. Did you hear what he said? You hear what he said? You hear what he said? Well, what did God say? The way for you to pull out of anything you're in is stop listening to what man says and start listening to what God says. And stand and stand and stand and speak it out. Speak God's word. He said, I'll make a covenant with you. And he said, an everlasting covenant. Even the sure mercies of David. In fact, God said, behold, I've given him for a witness to the people. God holds David up as an illustrated message that says, look at this man that sinned, but he repented and he called on the name of God. Now, look at this same man. I've made an everlasting covenant with him. God keeps his word. God keeps his word. Whether it's a need in your business with your children, relationships, family, dreams, desires, visions, whatever it is, get God's word for it. Sleep it, live it, think it, sow toward that. And when bad reports come, remember the first report's not the last report. And then know that the last report is still not the last report when your faith is in God. So shall my word be. Well, so we have David as an example there. But then in verse 6 he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Sometimes in verse 7, there's some repenting we need to do. That's a lot of faith people need to go back and remember that repentance is not a dirty word. And brother, something's not right in your life. Nothing's going to get right until you make it right. I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm talking about going through hell on your way to heaven. Now let's go down and tie this together. Notice in verse 10, as the rain cometh down, does the rain come down? For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven does not return, the water doesn't reverse and go up with raindrops. The snow does not reverse and go up. Returneth not thither, but it watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud. Be not weary in well doing. Let the rain fall. Let the snow come down from heaven. Let it water your soil. Let it water your ground. Hey, this too is revival. And let it bring forth that crop, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God's doing some things with us that I can't even articulate right now. In the midst of what would seem to be a disaster time in our life, we're seeing God's grace everywhere we turn. We're seeing God's help. We're seeing God's mercy. God is supplying our needs. And he said in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. I believe in prophecy. I've lived long enough to know that everything that's supposed to be prophecy is not prophecy. In fact, I found a good thumb rule of God. I don't have a nervous breakdown about any prophecy. I just put it in the hands of God and said, hey, I agree with that. Because I can't do it anyway. If I could have, I already would have. If I could have pulled that ship around, I mean, it would have already been there. There is no word that will ever be any more powerful to you than the word that comes to your spirit off the written page from Almighty God. I've had powerful words spoken over me. And occasionally I'm wise enough to realize it's a friendship word. Someone wasn't ugly or mean. They just loved me or were interested and they kind of leaned in a certain way. So I don't really, my life doesn't rise or fall on anybody's prophecy. See, Joe and I have lived long enough that when all hell breaks loose, I learned this from my mother and she learned it from her mother. We just sit down and we say, Lord, we don't know what to do. We're up against a blank wall. We're on a dead end street. We don't know what to do. How many times have we been there, baby? How many times have we been there? But if we can find a promise from God, so shall my word be. You say, well, I got a word from the Lord, but I forgot it before I got home. You didn't get any word from God. You wanted it. You were a wannabe, but when you get a direct hit from God's word, that word does not disappear. When you get a direct word from the word of God, man's not going to be able to talk you out of it. Circumstances are not going to be able to steal it. And if they do, it'll come back many, many fold. Because we know who the thief is and he'll have to return it sevenfold. Get a word from God. It's greater than any word that any man could ever give you. Get a word from God. You can take that to the bank. Darkest hours of our life. Just get on your face before God and let God give you a word. Stand on that word and believe that word and water that word and sow toward that word. Couldn't tell you how many ministers' homes and other people's homes we've sowed toward over the years, or rent payments or stuff. We can't always do it, but when we could, we tried. And then the day came when our home was paid off. That didn't happen overnight. That seed coming out of the ground from a long time ago. We get all antsy because something doesn't happen overnight. I've got a portfolio of that. I could get on that if I would. But I want it in God's time, in God's way. And when it comes in God's time and when it comes in God's way, it's livable, it's enjoyable, it's wonderful, it's unto edification, and it's going to bless everybody. Not just me, it's going to bless everyone. So shall my word be. Are you serious, God? Yeah, so shall my word be. Goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. I'm going to tell you something. I feel a connection in the Spirit this morning. The word that I'm, you can call it teaching, preaching, ministering, call it whatever you want to call it. The word that I'm ministering this morning, you get a grip on it. It will not return to you void. We got to stop living by feelings. What I think, what I see, what I feel. I want to know how you believe. How you feel doesn't make the snap of a finger. It's how you believe that brings you through the storm. It's how you believe that brings you through the storm. It's how you believe based on God's word that brings you through the storm. Let me be brutally frank. If God never did another thing for Joe and I, we're still ahead today. We are ahead today. God has been good. We don't live for things. We live for God. Matthew 6:33, my mother drilled that into me. I thought if mother one more time said, you must be born again, a tenth of everything that comes through your hands is the tithe of the Lord. And seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Back then it was a Swin bicycle, or it was a new roller skates, or it was, you know, air rifle or something like, you know, just things that kids, that were big deals for kids. But now it's big stuff. It's big stuff. Because it's not just about Joe and I, it's about all of you. It's about people that need more of God, and it's about revival, and it's about healing, and it's about relationships being restored. It's not just about us, but what we've learned from the Lord, we pass on to you. Get God's word for it. Get a grip on that word in faith believing. Hold on. You're coming through the storm. You're coming through the storm. Payday will come. Now let me tell you something. You know, I've seen so many sad believers in my time. The joy of revival doesn't rock my boat at all. I revel in it. Joy is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now I have the joy of the Lord and I have the joy of Bob Nichols. But let me tell you something. You talk about joy when you've been sowing and believing and praying and you've been faithful. You know, sometimes there's nothing to do but just stand and withstand. Well, at least you're not going back. You may not be taking a big step forward, but you're standing and you're withstanding and you're covering the ground you stand on. At least you're not going back and compromising and retreating. There's a virtue to standing. There's some weeks I had a week a while back. I said, I don't think I really got anything done, but at least I didn't go back. I was standing. You're not losing ground when you're standing. Oh, that's so good. I've never said that before like that. You're not losing ground when you're standing. Stand and withstand. There's slow times in all of our lives and even in the ministry. There's times when, I mean, you just, oh, where is God? Lord, we just give and we believe and we do and we... But you know, Harold Bredesen said something and while he was in this church a number of years ago, he said, you know, God seems like a slowpoke, but when He moves, does He move? And He misses a lot of opportunities to be early, but He's always on time. Always on time. Oh, so here it is. Here's this person. They got hungry. They got thirsty. They said, I'm going to come and I'm going to listen. Thank you, Jesus. They stopped wasting their money on things that don't count. They started really listening. They listened in faith, believing. They inclined their ear. They got the junk out of their life. They began to seek God and make themselves available for the Lord. They began to think God's word. They began to believe God's word. They began to speak God's word. They'd write it on little scratch pads. Oh, instead of writing unbelief, they'd write faith. And they realize that as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God said, so shall my word be. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. Tithers, rejoice. Your tithing is not in vain. Sowers, rejoice. Your sowing is not in vain. Believers, rejoice. Your believing is not in vain. For ye shall go out with joy. I tell you, there's no joy like knowing you got it by the word of God. I said, there's no joy like knowing that you got it by the word of God. And then it said, your environment, your circumstance is going to change. The mountains and the hills shall break. They're not going to frown at you. They're not going to make a face at you. Oh, the mountains and the hills, what are they going to do? Shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorns, good things are coming up. You had enough thorns? No more thorns! But you got to get hungry and thirsty. You got to come. You got to be willing to say, Lord, there's a lot of things I don't know. In fact, I feel kind of stupid today. I talk to people all the time that have a college degree in a certain thing, and they don't even know what to do with what they got a college degree in. But oh, when God gives you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, when God's word becomes real to your heart, it shall come to pass. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway.